Hello everyone. Welcome back to this edition of Christ Life Classic. We thank God for the mercies of God that we have enjoyed and His faithfulness towards us. I believe that we've had a very productive day up until now, and I trust that this time to look into His Word again would encourage all of us greatly. And I also want to encourage us to keep sharing and listening again and again, trusting that all the blessings of, you know, this season will come to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for another time to look into your word. We ask that you will help us, you open our eyes, you will give us ears in the name of Jesus. You will cause our hearts to turn and burn towards you in Jesus' name. Thank you for help to everyone that will hear, help to me that is speaking. Lord, we thank you because we know that we'll have all the blessings you have prepared for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we met, we were still trying to look into faith in the Lord Jesus and faith towards God and the need to ensure that even in our faith in the name, in the Lord, we progress with it to a point where, you know, through what we see in Scripture, you know, that we progress in our faith in the Lord. And one thing that we said clearly was that faith in the Lord is not just getting things from God. Primarily is to trust and believe in His name, in His word, you know, and journey to a point where we know that, you know, He is our God, you know, and it also opened us to the world of the supernatural, you know. And we looked at the heroes of faith, how even with their unquickened spirit, they were able to thrive and do well with this faith towards God, you know. The decisions they made, they trusted in the Lord with all their heart and lean on their own understanding, you know. And I believe that, you know, to a large extent, the Lord has steered us up to begin to look into this again. One of the things I wanted to just add to this, you know, we had said that it's important we look at this aspect, you know, this foundational aspect, so that we can do well in understanding. You know, one other thing that at New Birth, that's, you know, faith in the Lord. I think in previous lessons we have looked at Ephesians 1:15. You're far ahead of your faith and your love towards all the saints. You know, one thing that as a believer at new birth, we journey towards, apart from faith in the Lord Jesus, is also love to all the saints. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore also I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. This is Apostle Paul that was talking to the Ephesians, you know, church. And he was trying to catalog their work and also try to commend them in prayers to the next phase. But there was one of the things he could testify of them. It was their faith in the Lord and their what? Their love unto all the saints. Now, love to all the saints is one thing all of us as a believer must cultivate. They said towards all saints, not towards your church, not towards your denomination, towards all saints, towards all saints. You know, it's a call to anyone that has accepted the Lord Jesus. You know, it's a call. It's a call that we have been called to cultivate. And that's why, you know, at New Birth, after you have been preached to, after you have been, you've met your counselor, they say make sure you join a Bible believing class. I believe they told Bible believing church. I'm sure you were told that, you know, join a church. You know, these days we have believers who claim to be born again, but they don't believe in church. You know, we have believers, we have believers who claim to, you know, to have a walk with the Lord, but they don't believe in church. You know, they don't believe in church. We have believers that have exalted, you know, an online church, you know, more than the physical gathering together, especially when there are no limitation or impediment to that gathering. You know, nobody is a born-again Christian that is stand-alone. You were, and that's why you were together. One of you are together. One of the things at when we saw Acts, Book of Acts, we saw the thousands of saints in multiples that we are together. You said they were together in one accord. You see, that togetherness is one curriculum that is foundational for us to do well, even in Christ's life. I want to say, and we start that journey from our journey as a new believer. You see, you cannot talk faith outside of your among. You know, you must be among. You must be among. And I need to emphasize, because you see a lot of believers, they'll say, well, what church do you go to? They only talk about programs they came to. And sometimes they can have 3-4 and they just join the prayers and all. You know, who are you part of a church? Who is your pastor? You know, so we cannot overemphasize the place of not neglecting the gathering of saints, not forsaking the gathering of one another, you know. Not forsaking the gathering of one another. You know, many of us, you know, and I'm saying that there's a gospel that is being preached, tell people that, yes, you can be born again and you may not go to church. That gospel is from the pit of hell. Even Satan does not do that because he has an array of his own together. You know, even Satan, he has an array of his own together. So I want to say that you cannot love all the saints when you are not part of a local assembly. You cannot love all the saints because that is where it begins from. You know, that is where it begins from. You know, loving the saints, belonging to a local, coming to church, coming to meetings, and coming to church, Sama, it is not only Sunday tablets. Coming to church involves the meetings of the church. And every church has their own meetings. Please, Sunday is not the only prescribed day of meeting. In your local assembly, there are meetings. You see, because we would not do well in progressive when you want to do a standalone Christianity. You know, one thing the Bible says is set the solitary in family. So we will not born again to be solitary. Nobody say I'm born again in my heart. You know, and then you come work with many excuses. You know, the church has done this. Pastors are eating all our money. You know, you see all those peddlers. You know, since if you sit down, the peddler of those gospel is actually the adversary. Now, if you say there are fake pastors everywhere, fake churches, so I'm glad you use the word fake. It means that there's a real one and there's true.
Yes,
ma'am. It means that there's genuine, you know, and there's true. So as long as there's true, you always have fake. And it's important you know that, you see, the Christian faith you have been called to, I mean, your faith that you have been called to is a faith that has an adversary. He hates God. He hates you. He hates all of us. He hates church. You know, he magnified church. And you know, and another misconception, people think that, you know, church is for perfect. And he says he's a Christian. And in that church is for sick people. Church is an hospital. Even me that I'm talking to you, I am very sick. I'm just trying to say, some people, it's just that our sickness is a measure. Some people are in ICU. Some people are in, I don't know where you are. You know, maybe some people are just General P. Some people are in surgical room.
Yeah.
So please, nobody has preached a church to you that is perfect. I just want to say that. Even the Lord Jesus who died for his church knows that he did not die for a perfect church. He did not die for a righteous church. And you know, he's somebody who Jesus was saying it. He said, if you are not sick, you don't need the healer.
Yeah.
But if you are sick, then you need the healer. So, you know, he says he's a Christian. Yeah, hey, come to church. Church is in that church, you know, that you will also find that progress. So all of us are work in progress.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you come to church, you must come with a heart that we are all here. They call us sheep.
Jeez.
We are all here. You know, and for people that, in all sincerity, that the church has done you very bad. Pastors have done you very bad. I want to apologize. That actually, you know, that was, if they had done that, we are very, very sorry. But you see, to get better is still in that church.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. You see, running away, ostracizing yourself, cutting yourself away, is still in that church.
Oh.
It is in church that you still get your healing.
Oh.
Their pastors are not doing, yes, but their pastors that are faithful men of God, genuine. You know, There are churches that are doing this, but they are genuine churches. Please, don't let Satan rob you. Some people have turned even Sundays to their exercise day, to their jogging day, and then they just put things and they're just streaming meeting. Oh, don't worry, I will just stream meeting. You see, you only stream when you really cannot physically be there. And that cannot be your default. As a believer, you must have a local assembly that you belong to. And not just belong. That the church says, know that you belong to them.
Yes.
Not the one that before they share the grace, you're out. Nobody knows you. Nobody, you are just out. You just come to Mark. You know, you just come to, it's like a social club you've come to. So I can feel it on your own personal form sheet. What do you worship? I worship in so church. Love Seal Church. No. So I'm saying that the place, because you see, you can't love all the saints if you don't belong to a local assembly. Because if you look at what happened to the Acts of Apostles, you can see how the Lord, in that Acts 2, he said they were together. They were together in one accord. I just want to say, the believers that believe were what? Together. And all the, so you can't believe and be alone. I have not read it in scripture that you become born again and you be alone. No, my brother. No, my sister. Get up from that bed and go to a church that believes, if you know, a Bible believing church, and ensure that you are part of that church. Part of that church. Belong to the church. Let the church belong to you. It's your father's house. You know, some people that say, nobody can drive you out of your father's house. Your father belongs to the church because it is there. Your provision for growth is. You cannot grow alone. You see, it is when they were together, they were all together, and they wrote this again. They said they continued daily in one accord, in the temple, breaking bread. Are you seeing? House to house, did eat, continuing the apostles' doctrine. Are you seeing? It is where you will have things that will nurture, that will make you nurture. See, them streaming online, we not do it all for share. Streaming online, I will stream. You follow this one. You follow this prayer meeting. That is not growth. Many people, when someone is their pastor, they claim a notable figure, you know, as their pastor, but does that pastor know you? You cannot claim a pastor that does not know you. That not claim you. They can't claim you. So, you know, so I'm saying that because you see, you can't love all the saints. It says endeavoring, Ephesians 4, 3 to 6. It says endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. I'm saying, you see, believers that are quick to pull down church, go and note something about them. They don't belong to any local assembly. They speak against church, speak against ministry, speak against communities. They don't. They speak against the body of Christ. Speak against, you know, pastors that God has raised, that sit down and put something to pen and say, you don't belong to a local. You are not sheepish. You are not a sheep. I just want to say this because you see, this loving all the saints, and that's why you will be biased. You know, you know, some people can only love Igbo saints, Yoruba saints. Say, in this church, we are Yoruba people. You know, that's why there's no, you know, all those things, you will not thrive in loving all the saints. This one, they are in this denomination. This one, if you have not done church, one evidence that you have belonged well is that your heart and you have used faith well. Because you must know that the source of all the faith is actually is the Lord of faith, is the Lord Jesus, is the author and finisher of our faith. So when you see a soul that is tearing down church, tearing down pastor, tearing down, is because he has not settled in a church and is not loving the saints. Because it is in loving the saints that you do what? It is loving the saints. It is when you're loving this. It is when you are part of a community that you are loving the saints. Coming to church for meeting, you sit down and say, "How are you, brother? How are you?" You know, you are. You know, opening yourself, letting down your guard, being a you know. So Ephesians 4:3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the bond of unity, which is what enduring the unity of the spirit in the bond of the spirit." There's one body. One spirit, even as you are all called in one what? Hope, you're calling one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that's what we, so though we are many, we are what? We are one body in Christ. And we should not have issues relating with other bodies. You know, some people exalt their pastors more than other pastors. No. So loving the saints, you see, for our nation, as we have mentioned, that it is from faith to faith. You see, this important aspect, we will not be able to be commended to the next faith until they see it. So it's not one thing. Some people claim to have faith, but they don't love the saints. Ken Hagin says you are standing on one leg. You see, when you have faith in the Lord Jesus, your second leg is love unto all what? All the saints. I want to implore you, if you don't belong to a local assembly, to get a local assembly and belong to one. And also let that assembly belong to you. Go through the process. Go through discipleship class. Go through the training. Don't just go. Don't also do Sunday therapy. Go there, you know, be part of it. Grow. Listen to the word of God, you know. Engage. And you will see that you will do better. But like I said, if the church has offended you in any way, you know, and you know, any pastor, any leader has done things they ought not to, I want to say we are sorry, but you still need to go to that church. You can go to another church. Praise God. Because a sheep is always in the company of his other sheep. Except you are a stray. You have a lot of stray Christians. And those are goatish tendencies that will make you susceptible to the wolf. You move away by every weed of doctrine. So I want to say that we cannot talk about faith in the Lord Jesus if we don't talk about love towards all the saints. You know, we cannot talk about it. You know, it is when you come to church, different manners of brethren and sisters, you know, different people come to church, you can lift up holy hands, you can sing, you know, some believers come to church, they come to church meetings and they are heard. You know, I've seen believers like that. They say they don't even know, you know, lift up holy hands, sit up, you know, they just sit. They are not even able to find liberty. One of the things when you are coming to church, loving the saints, is that you begin to find liberty of expression. Liberty where you can lift up, like when you are not, you know, you are just among saints of God. Who, you know, the same way they have accepted the Lord, the same way you accepted the Lord Jesus, they did the same thing and they are thriving. Amen.
Amen.
So I just wanted also to say, then another thing I will say, you know, is also that, you see, the issue of fear, there's one other aspect that, you know, is part of the curriculum of judgment. In when they talk about the foundational course, they talk about of judgment. You know, one thing judgment brings is the fear of the Lord. He said living depends on, and then eternal judgment. You know, one of the things, the one mind it gives you is fear of the Lord. We live in a world that there's no fear. There's one audaciousness that is in a lot of people. In fact, I was telling somebody, some people believe that they have nine lives. Or some people believe that their life is, you know, it's the way some people live, as if there is no tomorrow. As if their breath is not in their nostril. Amen. So, it's not you want to talk about fear, it's not a morbid fear, but it's a sense of awe, of honor, of reverence for the Lord, his servants, his things. Okay, are you hearing me?
Yes.
There's no faith in the Lord that will not, if you do it well, and love towards the saint, that you don't have an awe and reference for your brothers and sisters, for the saints of God, for the church, you know, for the servants of God. You know, there's a way that fear. He said, if you read that Acts 2:42-43, he said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in fear, in prayers. I say, and fear
came upon
every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by what? When you have done faith in the Lord, you have done love. There's and you know, you see, if you don't belong to a local assembly, you can't have fear. You won't have fear for holy things. That's why some people just open their mouths and just say anything. You know, you want, you know, you just feel like you can just talk, sha, that you have an opinion. Thank God for Christianity. You know, the Lord turned down a lot of powers in the church. But it doesn't mean the church does not have power. know some things we say. Some of us, we can't say it about Shango priest.
Yeah.
Or go and say, you know what I'm saying? Because those ones, they don't have, there's no coloration of mercy. There's no, you just die now.
Yeah.
You know? But the Lord, you know, the Bible says that he's slow to anger,
yeah,
you know, abounding in mercy and love towards us. So awe, we must grow in awe in reference. One area that shows that you are ready for this Christ life, because Christ life is a measure.
Yeah.
This life that is in Christ, there's a regulator. There's a, if you see, if you have not done all these things well, even all those things they talk about in Hebrews 6, if you have not engleaned the thought of it, the next aspect, you may not do well in it. Awe, reference. A believer must have awe and reference for authority. Say, honor all men. Honor all men. All men, no. You know, honor all men. Love the brother who fear God. Honor the king. Honor all men. So when it comes to honor, it's not something, they don't even say honor pastors. They say all men. That means there's a reference you must have for men. There's a reference, there's a honor, you know, that you regard. Because why? That fear, when you know that one day you will stand before God, there's a judgment for everybody. Either you face the judgment seat of Christ, or you face the white throne judgment. There's judgment for everybody, for every soul. I think there's, previously, when people gave their life to Christ because of fear of hell, they knew that there was judgment. But we live in a generation that has that issue, as if it has become very vague. As if judgment is not true again. As if people are still dying. You know? So I just want to encourage us in that place, that the place of honor, reference, you know, none of us as a believer should not be found talking down on pastor. It is not your mouth. You did not call any man. You did not ordain any man. Leave the Mr. Brother Corrector and Sister Corrector. Leave it to people who have that pedigree to do it. Leave it to the God that called them. But let's not be found amongst us that you go to, you know, social media, you want to address issue. People say, yes, it's the issue. The issue of the church is not... is not the, that's not our culture to address our issues in the public. It's not done somewhere. And I also wanted to say something very important before we move on. When it comes to the issue of the Lord, one thing about the Godhead is that they give us gift of themselves. One thing when it involves our inheritance, our life, what we are going to become, our redemption, you know, what, how the path, the way, you know, the manual for being, they gave us the person of our Lord Jesus. He was the second person in the Godhead called the Word of God that became flesh. You know, is our, how will I, is our, Jesus is our, how will I call it? It's our audacity of faith. You know, he became all that God wants us to become. He was not just a sacrifice. He lived a life of obedience, of service, of becoming, and a life of showing us the way to arrive back. Jesus showed us how man can get to God because he arrived there. The reason why he had to shed fully man, shed all of that to live, grow, you know, become, change, you know, suffer all he suffered, you know, give us power, authority in the days of his flesh, went to the cross, paid the ransom, you know, was crucified, you know, was in the grave, resurrected, and also not only resurrected, also offering, you know, as an high priest, is to show us, you know, just to show us, to do everything that needs to be done to cause us to. But you see, there's another gift. I'm just trying to talk about, there's another person that was given to us. And Jesus mentioned that person. He said, he called him the comforter. He said, another comforter.
Yeah.
So he meant that Jesus was a comforter.
Yes.
While he was here. He said,
said I will another comforter, and that Jesus must go back. They don't release how many persons, they release one Godhead per time to man. Are you seeing? So God came first to man and gave.
Yes.
Then Jesus is going back and giving us. And you know, we said that Jesus is the gift of God to the world. But the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father to believers. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. You know, wait for the promise of which is to you and your children's children. You know, so the Holy Ghost, you know, you see, another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. You know, we know the Holy Ghost because at even our coming into accepting Jesus, there was a without work. The Holy Ghost did not just start with, you know, Christians at Acts. All the fathers we talked about, he was working without them. You understand? He had his dealings around them. You know, but one thing that happened at new birth, the Spirit of Christ that our spirit was quickened with, you know, that working was done by the Holy Ghost. He worked in us. I'm telling you, no matter how, he was the one that ordered, worked, moved with all the angels to order your step to a place where you accepted the Lord, whether it's a meeting, he was the one that brought that conviction, whether you were alone. Are you saying that he has been working even before you knew about him? That's the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can, you know, he can endure man. You know, he's the only one that can stay in man. He's the only one. When we give him, because our spirit became an habitation for him to dwell in. Praise God. If we read 1 Corinthians, I just want to say, John 14, talk about that. John 15, John 16, talk about, you know, the promise, the Spirit of truth. So we'll see what he will do, reprove the world of sin, you know. And you see, when you read what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, you will know that our knowledge of the Holy Ghost is very limited. Because we always say, Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost is not fire. Holy Ghost is not wind. Holy Ghost is not water. Holy Ghost is not oil. What else again? Holy Ghost is not a dove. It's just, they are all symbols of expressing him. He is a person. He's a third person in the Godhead who oversees the work of what? Redemption and salvation in us as a believer. He's not a thing. Something is not a something, you know. Something is a person, is a being. And you know, one of the beautiful things about what makes him, because we cannot talk about the Christ life without his ministry. We cannot talk about furtherance of any life without him. He is the one. He is the custodian of all this life. He is the one that oversees it. You know, he's the one that releases it. He's the one that measures it out to us. He's the one that commends us from one faith to another. You know. So, you know, many times we have limited, they call him spirit. Why our Lord is called Logos? The word is Logos. There's a tangibility. But you see, Holy Ghost is spirit. So that's why the only place he can dwell is in our spirit. That's where he bears resemblance. And from there, he begins to move things into our soul, into our body. Praise God. So it's spirit. And that's why, you see, the Holy Ghost, even in a believer that still lies, is still there. He said he will be with you. Look at it. He said, and this comforter will be with you till, you know, he didn't say he will go away. Oh. He said he will be with you forever, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost does not leave a believer, except a believer who has become a cursed or a child of perdition. He said, he will abide with you forever. So can I say, I always say this, that when you are realigned, the Holy Ghost was still inside of you. Some of us, some believers will carry Holy Ghost to go and do fornication. Some believers will carry Holy Ghost to do 419. Some believers will carry Holy Ghost. You understand? You know, Holy Ghost, you know, that's why Jesus said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you are done. You know why? Because he's the only one that can. You can't try that with the Father.
Yes.
You can't. You will burn to ashes. Because when it comes to the Father is an embodiment of life and rules and standards. You know? So the Holy Ghost, he can, you know, he can from there walk. The Holy Ghost can raise a man that is in the dung, you know, and raise a man to become a giant of faith. The Holy Ghost can do it. Amen. So we can see that he is the spirit of the Lord, cannot receive him. So when Jesus was talking about his ministry, you know, he talked about his ministry, you know, being, you know, the spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. He will come to reprove the world of sin. You see, righteousness of judgment. He talked about him in John as well. He said, he will take things of me and show it. And show it, you know, things of, he said, howbeit when the Spirit, that's John 16, 13 to 4, is coming, he will guide you into what? All truth. All truth, all faith, all life, all ways. So he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, you know. And he will show you things to what? To come. These things to come is not vision, is not prophecy. It's things that God wants you to become. So he said, things to become. Things to come, things you are supposed to come into. He said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall what? Show it. So it means that Jesus was limited in the days of his flesh to show us things of his. You know, that's why they call him, there's some things Jesus could not show us. There were some things that not only he could not show because he had not come into it. You know, because he had not resurrected, he had not started offering. So the Holy Ghost, you know, I'm just trying to say that when we talk about all the measures of life, we cannot again say, when you read 1 Corinthians 6, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So for some of us that think that when it comes, the issue of kingdom is not even what we are talking about. But full stop, this thing is a given. You say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. No, that is, sure you don't know me. You know, sure you don't know me. I know there's a gospel that claims that God does not manage anything. I just want to say this, that you see why we must take our progress, our journey, our growth, our chase here. God does not manage life. He does not manage anything. Sure you don't know. See, that's why I said, sure you don't know me. That when it comes to unrighteousness, God does not understand unrighteousness. He said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adultery, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Please, you are going to give me this in Amplified, so that some of the English will blow there. You know, we are blowing. But you are washed. Look at this. Before you say, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. By who?
By the Spirit of our God.
You are, well, you are sanctified. Wow. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you see that even in our use of the name of the Lord Jesus, it is still by the Spirit of the Lord. You know? Well, even in the name, it is still by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, see this in Amplified. I want you to know that no matter where you are, this Corinthians church, this thing was not put in 2 Corinthians. Corinthians church, when Paul, after he administered and wrote to them, he was telling them their history. I'm just trying to say that, you know, just a church is not for perfect people. Church are for people who have history. And please, don't be ashamed of your history. Be joyful to what you were delivered from. So Paul said, do you not know that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Any share in the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God. You do not know me. They do not be what? Deceived. You see, there's a lot of deception that is letting people think that, you know, neither sexually immoral. You want to marry fornication. That's deception. You want to stay in fornication. No, idolaters. What are the things you idolize? What are the things that are your God? What are the things? What are the things that you focus on? You can pour your life on. Is it your business? Is it your work? Is it your family? Is it marriage? Is it a child? What is it that you say? No, don't anything that takes your attention is an idol. You say, no adulterers. You know, you can't be breaking your marriage vow. You say it is not adultery. It is what they call it, no? It's entanglement. You know, it's not, I don't know. You know, it's sexual. You have an affair. It's having an affair. Call it what it is. You see, one of the things that this world has done is to tag things. We give it another name so it looks nice. It looks nice. Sin, you know, the world now labels sin as God calls it as other things. The Lord labeled things. When Joseph was running away from this, he said, I will not do this against this sin. This sin. Against who? He called it sin. You know, the world doesn't call things sin. The world says, sexual sin, adulterous. You understand? You know, we live in a world of hookups, a world where somebody, you are not married to somebody, you are already living in their house. You know, you are not, you say, hey, Shabi is my fiance, is my boyfriend. And, you know, these days, you speak to somebody, next thing, you are already pants down. Since when has love been expressed by your genitals? I thought the icon for love was the heart. Since when? He said, no effeminate. Now, you know, I'm not also saying that there's a lot of sexual perversion. Why am I reading this? I'm going somewhere. He said, no effeminate by perversion. No, those who participate in homosexuality. So you see, you can be free from homosexuality. You can be free from sexual perversion. This is Corinthians church. Those who participate. You know what I'm saying? Homosexuality, that's how God made me. The Corinthians church was once like this. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me say, that's that God, I just have affinity for. Hey, you can be, you don't understand. I believe the Bible. Should be, you say you are born again. That's why we say, you see why faith in the word? Are you seeing why faith in the Lord Jesus must do faith in the word for you? No thieves. Are you 419-420? Yes. Yahoo Plus? Yahoo? Whatever it is. You can't manage it. No, you can't do Yahoo and bring the money to church. Say, let me just do this. You're not greedy. You just want to have it. You know, greediness is one of the things. You know, if you are greedy, you'll be covetous. Greediness is not only, you're not just greedy for things. It will make you convert it. Not only, it will make you work it out. Say, no drunkards. Just a little wine, a little, no revilers. Look at whose words are used as weapons to abuse. You see those things on social media. Insults. Are you saying these are, you say, humiliate, intimidate, or slander? It's not me that is saying it, or this is not my gospel. This is the gospel of. So, yeah. So when you are quick to type thing on the phone, you start trending. You understand? They say revilers. No, you know that you have no, it's not me. Do not be deceived. It's not me that say so. If the word of God is saying so, then listen. No swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. It's not you understand it? So what you see when I was talking about honor and not abusing, it's because you so that you will not you have portion in a part. Now, one where I'm even going to is that as such we are some of you. You don't understand. That may be your address, but had not to be your presence. And that must this scripture made you know that if you were part of this, you can be delivered from it. Before you believed, but you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of what? Christ. And you were what? Sanctified. What is sanctified? When you set apart, when you separate and made holy, and you were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. See who the Holy Spirit of our God is. He said the source of the believer's new life. And change me. So the source, the overseer, is the Holy Ghost. Now, there was one word that, you see, justification does not only mean declaration of being made free. No. Justification is not only you have been declared free. You know when you say justify? Yeah, I've been declared what? Free, I've been pardoned. But justification is also a defense. Are you understanding me? You say faith, just like faith is a defense. You know faith is a defense?
Yeah.
Bible says, take up the shield of faith.
Yeah.
That you'll be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the what? Of the wicked. Say, take up. You know, because when you talk about justification, I'm just trying to say, we were justified by the Holy Ghost. Just in the name of God, and by the Spirit of God. So our justification, our being made free, our being having a defense. You know, faith is a defense of life. What are you defending? You are holding the defense of a life you want to live. You are holding the defense of a report you want to bear. Amen. You know, Romans 5:1-2 to say, therefore, now being justified by faith, we have peace. See, pause. You see, when they say justified by faith, we have peace. There's no peace without war. So faith is a warfare.
Oh, to come to peace.
To come to peace. You don't arrive peace care. No, but you make war for peace. You don't jump to peace through our Lord Jesus. You know, by whom we have access. But I'm trying to say that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, why I read all this, that the Holy Ghost is also, you know, a major part. Let's also read 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. Can you see? Beginning, chosen you to what? Are you seeing there's a beginning, but you are chosen to salvation? Are you seeing that you just they choose you to salvation through what? So what the Holy Ghost will work in us is sanctification, belief of the truth. Let's read Romans 15, 16. He said that I should. I'm just trying to see what the Holy Ghost, you see, justification, you see, sanctification. You are workings. The Holy Ghost say he takes the things of Christ and uses it to make us this. Because the things that makes, that sanctifies, the things that justify are the things that are in Christ. And he uses it. Let me read Romans 15, 16. He says that I should be the minister of Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Are you seeing the Holy Ghost? There's an Holy Ghost most of us knew at new birth. Before I say that, you know, there's an Holy Ghost we knew at new birth. You know, that Holy Ghost sometimes we feel is the only one that makes us break chair, the one that makes us, you know, fall under the anointing. You makes us, it's all those things are just his manifestation. And sometimes they are manifestations entrenched in some of our fleshly display, you know. But primarily, that is not what he is about. He is about, you see, the Holy Ghost is our, how will I call it, is the one that will lead us, eh? He's the one that will show us how Jesus has shown us the pattern, the standard, but he will help us become all of those things. That's why he's an overseer. He's not there. They call him the Spirit of Truth. At one point, you see, when we're journeying into making progress in God, sweet Holy Ghost becomes Spirit of Truth. Where he's working out justification, sanctification, you know. Then 1 Peter 1, 2. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Are you seeing what the Holy Spirit does? Are you seeing my, when you say sanctification, separation? You know, the ones that you know, set us apart. The ones that make knowledge of God productive. The one that makes obedience productive. The one, you see, when the Holy Ghost, you know, for when we have him accepted Jesus as our Lord, when we have him through his baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking. So you see, some people think the Holy Ghost, the only thing he came to do is to make us speak in tongues. Holy Ghost, move. Holy Ghost, you know, are you saying? And you know, you see why the Holy Ghost is, and he's so meek. You see, Holy Ghost, move in that congregation. He will move and everybody will fall down. He's so meek. You understand? But primarily, that is not what he is in us for. He is to bring us to oversee. So even in our faith in the Lord Jesus, he's the one that will quicken scriptures into our hearts to believe, Abby. He's the one that will let us trust God for this thing. He's the one that, are you seeing what he is doing? He's the one that say, and if you can trust God, he's the one that will minister to you that he has not left you. Yeah, you see, those faith on the Lord is the one that shows you his word, shows you, Jesus, you know, shows you that those are just the peripheral. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's the one you say, you need to be ghosted. It's good to be ghosted. You see, but that ghost life, there's where that life ought to take us to. That life is not to make us weird. It's not to make us spooky. So people, their claim to having the Holy Ghost inside of them is their spookiness. You know, just spooky. Oh, Spirit of God is moving me. And that's the Spirit of God. All those things. I don't even know what to call it. But my brothers and sisters, you have read that when the Holy Ghost is thinking to show you things of his, things of God, he's thinking justification, he's thinking sanctification. He's thinking to oversee and bring you, to make you learn where the Spirit of Truth, Holy Ghost. Seven spirits. You know when you hear the seven spirit of God, those are high dimensions and working of the Holy Ghost. You see that seven, you see the Spirit of the Lord, you see the Spirit of God before the throne. You can see that we really don't know the Holy Ghost. You know? And we need, why am I saying this? Because we cannot talk about any life without him. He's the one that releases the life. He's the one that gives access. His Father has released it, but he's the one that will make us come to those life. At the point when you are handed, you know, after your faith in the Lord, your love, you've had fear, is the one that will now begin to say. Because if you read Ephesians 1 from 15, you can see, you see, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the Spirit of our Lord Jesus, the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom
and
revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. Mm-hmm. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all the things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. See, the person that does all of this and leads us to all of this is the Holy Ghost. See, after your faith, you see, he did not see when he had started walking before you accepted the Lord Jesus. When you accepted the Lord Jesus, when you are having that faith, you know, he's the one that will give you scripture to quote and confess.
Yeah.
You know, when you were doing love towards the saints, when you're in church, you are giving tongues, you are giving interpretation, you are worshiping the Lord. You see that movement that you feel, the Spirit of God is here. He's the one making you love the saints, making you love the supernatural life, making you love even, you know, the being slain under the anointing, the bonging. You know, can you see how he has been leading you, causing you to have awe, giving checks? How are you talking to? Causing you to understand, begin to know him, his ways, begin to discern his voice. You know, moving us until we come to this place. When they say, after you have heard, seek not to begin to pray. That is another, that is, oh yeah, Paul is praying for another dispensation to be opened. But you see, prayer has been sent. The Lord, see what God, you see what they told us that God has done? And he did it through our Lord Jesus. But the person, the being that will bring us to come into it, now the Holy Ghost too. Holy Ghost is our partner for life in this world and that which is to come. He will be with us for what?
Forever.
I know the beauty of the Holy Ghost. He can deal with any man at any level. That's the beauty. He can deal with you with your ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know, somebody who just started speaking and doesn't say, Rebbe, Holy Ghost is still there. As somebody who can begin to give the oraculous in town, is he still the Holy Ghost? You see the beauty of, that's the beauty of him. That's the beauty. Even with my limited understanding, you see the Holy Ghost. When men, you know, pastors come, you see, are you seeing how he can relate at every measure? So when they were talking about the seven deacons, say men full of the Spirit. Do you see what full of the Spirit did? I just want to show us. The Holy Ghost, they all had baptism of the Holy Ghost in that act. But you see, some people had a measure that still gave them to have partiality. They still had the Holy Ghost brethren are the ones that were dividing ration of the Grecian widows. But there was another dimension when they said full of the Holy Ghost. See what he did into them. He said wisdom. And then what again? Full of the honest reports. Full. Can you see? The Holy Ghost can work in a man until he comes to have what? Honest reports. And see where they look for these people. Look at them. He said, look for among what? Among yourself. So it's always among. They didn't go to look for outside. Among yourself. And then, but in a company where some people see had partiality, there were seven that had honest reports. Full of the Holy Ghost and with wisdom. These people, it means that they had seen that these ones don't have partiality. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's no baby Holy Ghost. But it deals with us according to the measure of grace that we have received. I'm trusting that we will ponder again on this third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, who is God's gift to us because we need him. There's no life we can come to without the Holy Ghost. He's the one that will lead us to this life. The Lord will come to us again. Amen. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Amen. Amen.